القدس تنادينا، القدس تنادينا، القدس تنادينا، القدس تنادي، القدس تنادي، القدس تنادينا.
Months after Hittin, Salahuddin goes to his life ambition, Jerusalem. Salahuddin walks toward Jerusalem. They once said to Salahuddin, they said, "Oh Salahuddin, why is it that you never smile?" He said, "How can I smile when Masjid Aqsa is in the hands of the Crusaders?"
The liberation of Masjid al-Aqsa was the milk on which Salahuddin al-Ayyubi was weaned, and the cause to which he had singularly directed all his efforts from youth. He had grown up in a military and scholarly environment that prioritized the revival of the Muslims. He had defeated the Crusaders and eliminated the destructive influence of Shiism. He had united the Muslim front across Egypt, Iraq and Syria, and handed the Crusaders a crushing defeat at Hattin. Now, it seemed there was nothing left for him but Aqsa itself.
He would say things like, وَكَيْفَ يَطِيبُ لِي الْفَرَحُ وَالطَّعَامُ وَلَذَّةُ الْمَنَامُ وَبَيْتُ الْمَقْدِسِ بِعِيدِ الصَّلِبِيِّينَ وَكَيْفَ يَطِيبُ لِي الْفَرَحُ وَالطَّعَامُ. How can this enjoyment and good food make me happy and pleased when Jerusalem is in the hands of the Crusaders? Purpose, focus, effort. How could it please me to live like this when Jerusalem is in the hands of the Crusaders? They would say about him, Bahauddin ibn Shaddad says about him, rahimahullah, وَكَانَ عِنْدَهُ مِنَ الْقُدْسِ أَمْرٌ عَظِيمٌ لَا تَحْمِلُهُ إِلَّا الْجِبَالِ. They said that when it came to Jerusalem, it was a very big issue for him. Something that not even the mountains could carry. It was a tremendous, exact undertaking that he put upon himself, the recovery and the recapture of Jerusalem. They said about him, كَانَ كَالْوَالِدَ أَتَّكْلَ يَجُولُ بِفَرَسِهِ مِنْ, that he was like a mother bereaved of her child. And he would take his horse and go place to place and say, you know, wa Islam, oh, calling upon the Muslim Ummah, there are our obligations for Islam.
After Hittin, Salahuddin did not proceed to Jerusalem immediately. Instead, he focused his attention on capturing all the cities on the Syro-Palestine coast, so as to deprive the Crusaders of strongholds and outlets to Europe from where they could besiege him once the Muslims captured Jerusalem. In quick succession, Salahuddin was able to liberate Tiberias, Asqalan, Haifa, Nablus, Beirut, Bethlehem and Hebron. In this way, Jerusalem was isolated and the Crusaders could send no reinforcements. Nonetheless, remaining Crusaders welled up in Jerusalem, took up arms, dug ditches and fortified the walls of the city. Salahuddin launched a media campaign in the Muslim world, urging the masses to be part of this historical moment. Volunteers soon began pouring in from all over, led by the ulama. On the morning of the 21st Rajab 583, Salahuddin began his siege of Al-Quds. War machinery launched heavy rocks at the wall of the city, and there was a torrential downpour of arrows. The Muslim army succeeded in creating several gaps in the wall. The Crusaders, however, fought back fiercely. Those in the city crowded into churches and confessed their sins. They beat themselves with rocks, hoping for divine mercy. Women cut their hair, hoping to fuel the courage of their men. Eventually, the Crusaders saw that theirs was a lost cause and called for terms. Salahuddin, however, appeared resolute to take the city by force. Sensing his firmness, Balian, the king of Jerusalem, decided to provoke Salahuddin by threatening to kill all the Muslim prisoners in the city.
before I lose it, I will burn it to the ground. Your holy place is ours, every last thing in Jerusalem that drives men mad.
I wonder if it would not be better if you did. You will destroy it?
Every stone and every Christian knight you kill will take 10 Saracens with him. You will destroy your army here and never raise another. I swear to God that to take this city will be the end of you.
Your city is full of women and children. If my army will die, so will your city.
You offer terms, I ask none.
I will give every soul safe conduct to Christian lands. Every soul. The women, the children, the old, and all your knights and soldiers, and your queen. No one will be harmed. I swear to God.
The Christians butchered every Muslim within the walls when they took this city.
I am not those men. I am Salahuddin. Salahuddin.
Salahuddin relented and agreed in consultation with his commanders that he would accept the peaceful surrender of Jerusalem in exchange for the payment of ransom, which was stipulated according to gender, age, and financial standing. Balian was to ensure that the ransom would be paid within 40 days. The city was handed over to the Muslims on Friday, the 27th of Rajab.
The date is March 4th, 1193. The equivalent of that day in Hijri years is Friday, Yom al-Jum'ah, the best day, the 27th of Rajab, 583 years after Hijra. Now, subhanAllah, what makes the 27th of Rajab significant? No, I'm not sanctioning any forms of acts of worship or things of that sort on that night. But historically speaking, it could or could not have been the night of Isra and Mi'raj, the night when the Prophet ﷺ ascended from Jerusalem to the heavens. Obviously, we have popular narrations of that. None of them, you know, are historically, completely sound. But still, it's significant that on this night, Salah ad-Din, rahimahullah ta'ala, al-Ayyubi, is standing on the outskirts, about to enter Jerusalem. He's about to bring Jerusalem back to the Muslims after it's been ravaged by the Crusaders.
It is narrated that 4 years prior to the liberation, the Qadi, Uhayyuddin ibn Zaki, composed a poem wherein he spoke of Salah ad-Din conquering Al-Quds in Rajab, just as he did to Aleppo in Safar. The amazing words were said to be a great motivator to Salah ad-Din to achieve the liberation during this time. It is narrated of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he liberated Makkah, that he stood at the steps of the Kaaba and called out to his arch foes from the Quraysh, "What do you think of the treatment I am about to accord to you?" he asked. The people of Makkah replied, "O noble brother and son of noble brother, we expect nothing but goodness from you." The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, "I speak to you in the same words that Yusuf alayhi salam spoke to his brothers." And then he quoted the ayah, "No reproach will there be upon you today. Allah will forgive you, and He is the most merciful of the merciful. Go your way, for you are free." When a Sahabi mentioned that this day would be a day of malhama, or slaughter, the Messenger of Allah corrected him, clarifying that this would be a day of marhama, or mercy. Being a strict adherent of the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in living up to the character of his namesake Yusuf alayhi salam, there were distinct echoes of the conquest of Makkah in Salahuddin's liberation of Al-Quds.
And can you imagine how the Muslim must have felt when they entered? Can you imagine 88 years of persecution? Can you imagine when they saw the fortified walls of Jerusalem? They must have remembered the stories of how living Muslims were catapulted over the walls of Jerusalem 88 years. When they saw the Christian women They must have remembered how every single Muslim woman was violated 88 years ago. When they entered and they saw the Christian children, they must have remembered the stories of how babies were snatched from their mother's breast and their heads were smashed against the walls. When they entered the masjid, they must have remembered the stories of how 70,000 Muslims were killed in the masjid in one day until their blood was running up to the knees of those who were doing the butchering. All these memories must have come back to the Muslims. But Salahuddin rahmatullah alayh had a greater memory in the back of his mind, which overrid all these memories. And that was when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam re-entered Makkah.
And subhanAllah, when Salahuddin enters into Jerusalem on that glorious night, Salahuddin rahimahullah ta'ala, according to the narrator, his biographer Ibn Shaddad, he says that Salahuddin rahimahullah ta'ala was repeating the same ayah over and over and over again. SubhanAllah. لا تثريب عليكم اليوم. There is no blame upon you today. Remembering Yusuf alayhi salam, remembering the way the Prophet conquered Mecca, remembering that grace and that compassion.
There were 60,000 inhabitants in the city at that time. Salahuddin ordered that a senior commander of his be stationed at every gate of the city to collect the stipulated ransom from the departing citizens. Despite the small amount that Salahuddin set for allowing them to leave and guaranteeing their safe passage, a great number of crusaders were unable to pay the amount for themselves. The rich crusaders did nothing to ransom the poor. Thousands immediately became prisoners and slaves of the Muslims. What resulted was to be an amazing exhibition of sadaqah. Several Muslim sultans, including Salahuddin's brother Al-Adil, released thousands of prisoners who had come into their hands purely for the sake of Allah. Salahuddin then announced that all old people who could not pay the ransom should gather at a certain point. Hundreds of crusaders assembled and they were all set free. The same was afforded to the wives and daughters of crusader knights who had been killed or captured in battles with Salahuddin. The Christian patriarch Heraclius was amazed to see this inexpensive way of doing good deeds and asked that some slaves be given to him too so that he could release them. Not only did Salahuddin liberally release so many prisoners, he also gave them stipends to make their way home. A Western writer has said that this was the opportunity for the Muslim king to teach the Christians the real meaning of tolerance. Salahuddin did not destroy the Church of the Holy Sepulchre and allowed some Christians to stay in the city, provided that they remain in peace and pay the jizya. Civilian Christian visitors would also be allowed.
A Jewish pilgrim who had come to the region and noticed all of this, in fact, wrote a letter to his relatives in which he expresses his prayers to God that victory will be granted to the Muslim Sultan, because his expectation was that the Muslim Sultan would protect the Jewish people from this kind of onslaught that is coming from the West.
And not only that, he reinstated the rights, the divine rights of every Jew on this planet to go to Jerusalem and celebrate the place that they hold sacred.
Salahuddin began restoring the Islamic features of Al-Quds. A large cross the Crusaders had erected upon the Dome of the Rock was taken down. As it was being removed, the Muslims erupted in takbir and the Crusaders responded in anguish and sorrow. Images placed by the Christians were removed and pigs and other filth kept by the Crusaders at Masjid Al-Aqsa were eliminated. The Crusaders had built a wall closing off the mihrab wherein they would store their items and relieve themselves. This was demolished and the area purified. Rose water was poured over the entire compound. The exquisite mihrab Nur ad-Din Zanki had constructed for Masjid Al-Aqsa 20 years prior in Aleppo was installed. Salahuddin imported exquisite marble and gems from Constantinople to place at the masjid. New musallas were laid and lamps were hung. Mushafs of the Quran were installed in wooden boxes. Salahuddin appointed imams, khatibs, muadhins and caretakers for Masjid al-Aqsa. He also built a Shafi'i madrasa. Letters were sent informing Muslim leaders of the great victory. Muslims from far and wide began to flock to Al-Aqsa and adorn the Ihram from there. First time in 88 years, Adhan was heard at the first Qibla and Salah was re-established. The first Jum'ah Salah happened on the 4th of Sha'ban, 483 Hijri, and the Khatib appointed was Qadi Muhyiddin Ibn Zaki, who had earlier predicted the liberation of Masjid al-Aqsa in Rajab. It was a great day when cheers flowed, hearts were soft, and blessings descended. The sweetness of the Quran filled the air. The opening words the Khatib spoke to usher in this new era of Tawheed were the glorious words of Allah. Thus the roots of the wicked people were cut off, and all praise is due to Allah, Lord of the